Hi there. So I'm just going to do a talk today all about the pelvic floor and Kegels and kind of explain what Kegel exercises actually are, give a little bit of background and talk about when they are needed and how to do them properly. So first of all, what is the pelvic floor? Well, the pelvic floor muscles are at the bottom of your pelvis. I've got a little pelvis here, so I'm just demonstrating by pointing to the pubic bone at the front and the tailbone at the back, and then the two sitting bones. These, the insertion points for those muscles, they attach to these insertion points. So they are skeletal muscles. And these muscles, they hold the pelvic organs in place. So you've got your bladder at the front, you've got your uterus in the middle, and you've got your bowel at the back. And the pelvic floor muscles also have the sphincter muscles for the anus and the urethra at the front, and also for the vagina. So they are very, very important. And we also have a deeper layer of muscles, a band of muscles that kind of hold the organs in place as well. So there's these guys at the bottom, but the muscle structures go deeper into the pelvic bowl as well. So just as a warning, leaking of any sort is a red flag, and we just cannot afford to ignore leaking. So whether it's just a little bit of leaking if you cough or sneeze hard, or maybe a bit if you start to run, it might be that you can run fine for say 5K, and after 5K you start to leak. Definitely if you've had a full bladder leakage, that is a really big red flag, and we cannot afford to ignore these red flags, because unfortunately it doesn't go away of its own accord. There's a huge amount that we can do to strengthen pelvic floor muscles, and we need to be doing this as we age and as the elasticity of the muscles themselves starts to almost decompose, really, as we start to age and our estrogen levels drop in perimenopause. So please don't ignore leaking. Pads, tenor, yes, they're a fantastic bridge, and yes, they can be very useful, but they're not a solution. So really, it is all about learning the kind of the gold standard of care and then actually practicing it, so actually doing something about it. So in today's talk, I'm not actually talking about tension patterns. I will be talking about that next week with Alraina Van Zyl, who's a fantastic pelvic floor physiotherapist. So I'm not talking today about tension patterns, about pain with sex, about discomfort when eliminating or problems with eliminating. I'm not talking about prolapse specifically today either. Like I said, I will be doing an in-depth talk about that next week. But today I'm just talking about how we can strengthen these muscles. And if you have stress incontinence, so i.e. you don't have necessarily urgency issues or you need bladder training, that's not this talk. This talk is all about how to strengthen these muscles that hold our organs in place. So the gold standard for postnatal ladies, and also for women who are kind of 40 plus in that perimenopausal stage where our estrogen starts to drop down, and like I said, the elasticity of the muscle fibers diminishes, is to both lengthen muscles. I'm going to use my bicep here to show you. Lengthen muscles, which is the down training, and then strengthen. So an element that a lot of women miss out is the lengthening, the releasing. And so when they start doing a program of strengthening their pelvic floor, they do a huge amount of strengthening, but don't actually ever release the pelvic floor muscles and lengthen them. So it's a really, really important part. And you're not doing a proper Kegel if you miss out the complete release basement, I call it basement level release at the end of a contraction. So we have the down training, which is really important. Of course, we do a lot of that in yoga, open legged positions, especially on our backs, baby pose, frog pose, opening up these adductor muscles, the inner thigh muscles that run right into the pelvic floor, and releasing tension so that we can then strengthen the muscles. So stage two is actually the strengthening, and we have fast twitch muscles and we have slow twitch muscles. So the muscle fibers of the pelvic floor, with are slightly different. So we have ones that we need to employ very quickly if we need the loo, or if we're about to sneeze or about to cough. We need to get those muscles, you know, to activate really quickly. Those are your fast twitch muscles. And then we also have the slow twitch muscles, which if you were needing to hold in a fart, if you were about to pass wind and you didn't want to, you would need to be engaging those slow twitch muscles. And that is an ability to do a contraction and a lift and hold it there. And these are the muscles that tend to be stronger longer. So they don't, they're not as affected by birthing. Whereas the fast twitch muscles, they're the ones that we lose most quickly. The other thing to know is that within the pelvic floor, and it's, if you think of it almost like a trampoline, we have most of the muscle fibers at the back. So we have about 70% of our activation ability at the back around the anus, and only about 30% at the front. So it's harder to get that contraction at the front. Not impossible at all, but it is harder. And I'm just going to show you a couple of techniques to enable you to focus on the around the urethra to strengthen those muscles in particular. Before we go into actually strengthening those fast and slow twitch muscles, I just wanted to touch on another couple of components which are really, really important in global strengthening. So one of those is regulating what's called intra-abdominal pressure. So this whole area from our diaphragm, so our breathing diaphragm at the bottom of our lungs, down to our pelvic floor, which is a diaphragm as well, this top and this bottom are the top and the bottom of like a big canister, if you like. And our deep transverse abdominal muscles, so those are our deep core muscles, and our extensor muscles of our back, they are the kind of the front and the back of this big canister. And we want all of these muscles to be working synergistically, working together in order for everything to work properly. And if we don't have good alignment, so if we have bad posture and our shoulders are rolled forward and our head is poking forward and our pelvis is all tucked under and our core muscles are disengaged, then we're not going to have a good synergistic movement between that diaphragm, the pelvic floor diaphragm, the deep transverse abdominal muscles, and the extensor muscles at the back. We're going to lose that natural synergy, that natural action that all of those muscles should have flowing together. So a really big and important long-term strategy for strengthening pelvic floor is to work on your posture, to make sure that you do have your head pretty much aligned over your neck and over your shoulders, so not poking forward, that you don't have rounded shoulders and a bit, you know, a large kyphosis upper back area, that you work on strengthening upper back muscles and opening up the chest muscles so that your shoulders can sit in the shoulder sockets and not be protracted forward. And then we want to make sure that the pelvis itself isn't also posteriorly tucked and pushing all the way forward or all the way pushed back. So some people have a big deep lordosis where they had their bum pushed right back and then their rib cage lifted up. You want to make sure that the rib cage is dropping down, the base of the rib cage is dropping down towards your spine, and that the pelvis is in neutral alignment. So if you know that posture is an issue for you, please don't ignore it. Start to do whatever you need to do. Pilates and yoga are great starting points to readdress your postural issues. And the next one is to make sure that you are breathing correctly. So like I said, the diaphragm and the pelvic diaphragm, they work synergistically together. And we need to be able to activate our pelvic floor diaphragm on an exhale. Because if you think about it, if you imagine, if you just take your hands and place one hand on top of the other hand, and you imagine jellyfish in the ocean, on an inhale, the jellyfish drop down and they spread out. And that's what happens with our diaphragm and our pelvic floor diaphragm. We drop and spread on the inhale. And then as we exhale, we have this natural slight lift up, this natural pushing the breath out of with the diaphragm here, and a natural synergistic lift through the pelvic floor muscles. So with every breath, we should be getting a little bit of vascular flow through the pelvic floor muscles. Again, if our posture is all over the place, if we're constricted through the diaphragm, we might be missing out on that really crucial movement. And so we also want to make sure that we're using diaphragmatic breathing. We're not just chest breathing. Diaphragmatic breathing is so, so important for our overall health. And specifically because we're talking about pelvic floor, it's very, very important for making sure that the pelvic floor muscles are able to get that sort of sump action, that squeeze, release, squeeze, release, squeeze, release action. So I like to imagine that you're breathing like a fish through gills. And if you just practice drawing your chin in, nice loose jaw, so jaw and pelvic floor deeply correlated. So we want to make sure our jaw isn't all tense, because otherwise we tend to have a tense pelvic floor as well. Relax the jaw. And then try breathing where you draw the breath right down to the bottom lobes, the bottom part of your lungs, and then right out to the sides, underneath these armpits, into the intercostal muscles, and then upwards. So the clavicles, or this top area, they get the breath last of all. And then as you breathe out, you draw the base of the ribcage slightly back towards your spine. So it's a gentle drawing in, just a subtle drawing in, and the breath just pours out of you. And that action will also help the pelvic floor to work as well. So when we do pelvic floor activation consciously, we always want to do them on an exhale. That's really important. So the other thing is avoiding constipation. And if you are dealing with constipation, it's something that you really need to put your focus on. We do not want to be straining on the toilet. That can cause prolapse and it can cause leaking issues. So we don't want to be straining on the toilet. We also want to make sure that we have good action through the bowel so that constipation doesn't end up pressing onto the bladder. And that can also be problematic for incontinence, both fecal and urinary incontinence. So looking at your diet, looking at your hydration, looking at yoga that can really help with digestive issues, and looking at vagus nerve stimulation, that's a really big thing. So that's, again, the long extended exhale is brilliant for calming everything down. It really helps with constipation. And the other thing is to make sure that when you are on the loo, you're lifting your feet up. So I've got a squatty potty here to demonstrate with. You're lifting your feet up off the floor so that you, and supporting them on something like a squatty potty, so that you're putting your pelvis into a squatting position, a slight anterior tilt. So I'm just going to show you here. When we're sitting on a chair like this or on the toilet, and we're not in a squatting position like that. So what happens is our pipes end up, rather than going straight down towards the loo, they end up sort of going slightly diagonally underneath us. It's a lot harder to eliminate cleanly. And whereas if we are in a squatting position, I'm just going to show you here. I'm just going to jump up onto my chair with the squatting potty underneath my feet so you can see. So if I'm sitting with my feet directly on the ground, you can see that I am in alignment here, but what we want, but my pipes are going that way, whereas as soon as I put my feet onto a bit of height, I can lean forward, and now I'm in a squatting position. My sitting bones are wide, my tailbone is lifted, and the actual pelvis is now on a very slight anterior tilt, and so the pipes are going straight down. Straight down as opposed to slightly underneath me here. So really when you're eliminating, you don't want to be leaning back. You really want to be leaning slightly forward and ideally with your feet upwards to open up the whole pelvic floor and get the pipes going directly downwards. So squatty potty, great investment. They just sit underneath the toilet out of the way, apart from when you need them. And the last thing, before I go into actually how to train your pelvic floor muscles, is to think about Ovestin cream or another type of low-dose estrogen cream for the pelvic area, for the whole vulva area, but around the urethra, around the anus, can be really, really helpful just to strengthen those pelvic floor muscles when our natural estrogen starts to diminish. And just a note that this is hormone therapy. However, it doesn't go into the bloodstream, so it's not systemic, and therefore it is very, very safe. You can take it with normal HRT if you wanted to. Most women who have normal HRT find that once they've had enough estrogen in their bodies, they don't also need this topical cream. However, if you don't want to take regular HRT or you can't for any reason, using this topical estrogen cream, very, like I said, very, very low dose. So a whole tube of it is equivalent to 1 pump of estradiol, which is, like a half a day dose, basically, of the stuff that does go through your bloodstream. So the cream because it's topical, it just goes into literally the skin. So it's like a good eye cream around your eyes. It will just affect that eye area. It's not going to affect all the rest of your body. But it can just plump up those muscle fibers. It can help the sphincter muscles close properly. It can help to keep the vaginal canal also a little bit more, have a bit more integrity. So if you are suffering with stress incontinence, it can be really very effective, and it's worth talking to your GP about that. Alrighty, so now moving on to how do you actually do Kegels and how do you actually strengthen those pelvic floor muscles? So just so you have an idea of how to feel what's going on with your pelvic floor muscles, obviously you can do that internally by putting a finger into the vagina, but you don't have to do that, you can do it externally. So I'm just going to turn around here so you can see me on an angle. I'm sitting on a bolster so that my pelvic floor muscles are nice and spread out. It can be helpful to sit on the edge of your sofa, just the round edge of your sofa, so you've got some feedback on your pelvic floor muscles, or roll up something so it looks like a bolster, so something kind of firm and circular, sort of sausage shape underneath your pelvic floor muscles. So if I tilt my pelvis forward, that's an anterior tilt. And if I tilt my pelvis back, that's a posterior tilt. And if you rock from side to side, you can feel your sitting bones and you can kind of feel the pelvic floor underneath those sitting bones. So if you take your hand, one hand, and you just slide it down your spine, past your sacrum, and then to the nub of the tailbone, so just to the very end of your spine, we've got your tailbone, right around the tailbone because are the muscles of the pelvic floor, because like I said before, they insert, they attach to your tailbone, pubic bone at the front, and the sitting bones. And so if you just kind of tuck your tail under, you'll probably feel a little bit of a squeezing around the tailbone. And then if you lengthen the tailbone back, you'll probably feel a little bit of a spreading of those pelvic floor muscles, which is why when we're eliminating, we want the sitting bones spread, we want the tailbone slightly lifted, we want to be in that slight anterior squat-like tilt. I'm going to get you to just come back into neutral pelvis here. Now, as I said before, we want to do activation when we are exhaling so that we have the advantage of that natural action going between the diaphragm and the pelvic floor diaphragm. So I'm going to get you to breathe in deeply. And as you breathe in, see if you can imagine all the pelvic floor muscles just kind of dropping and spreading into your bolster. See if you can feel a little bit of a spreading out around your finger. And then as you exhale, squeeze and lift around your anus. So imagine you're stopping yourself passing wind and you're holding that. And just see if you can feel the muscles around where your finger is just kind of squeezing and lifting. So that's what you want to feel. And then we're going to exhale again to release. So just breathe in here and then exhale. And as you exhale, just release down. And the idea is so that you relax completely to what's called basement level. So quite often we find that women are constantly holding their pelvic floor muscles, especially if they've got any leaking issues or prolapse. They're constantly in a slight contraction. So about level one, maybe, or halfway up to level one, and they don't ever relax right down to basement level. So the important thing is to let those muscles relax all the way down before you then do a contraction. So we'll just move on now to what it feels like to do a proper Kegel. Now, in a sit like this, I do suggest you, if you have got a squatty potty, you do some Kegels after you've been to the loo, so not while you are weeing. It's okay to test your strength every now and again by doing a little Kegel as you start the flow, but don't do it very often, and certainly don't do it several times in one go, because you can end up not releasing all the urine and potentially causing a UTI. So good positioning to be in a squatting position and support on the toilet to do your pelvic floor exercises, but make sure you've already eliminated before you do them. Make sure you're in a squatting position. So if you are sitting nice and tall, you've got a slight anterior tilt, we've got a nice lengthened out pelvic floor. Let's move on to describing and practicing the fast twitch and the slow twitch. So basically, what you want to feel is like you're stopping yourself weeing. So around the urethra, it's like a pipe, like a hose pipe. You want to imagine that you're squeezing the hose pipe and then lifting it upwards and then releasing it down, and imagine the hose pipe widening. So there's that action going on. And then around the anus, there's the action of feeling like you're stopping yourself passing wind and then lifting up a little bit from that. So you're like, you're really having to hold it in. It's that kind of lifting squeeze and then releasing all the way down. And then imagine that you have got a tampon in and it's kind of dropped a little bit. And you just, with your muscles, are trying to pull it back up a little bit through into the vagina. It's that feeling of drawing in and up that we're looking for, and that's going to help us to start to activate a little bit deeper in the pelvic bowl around the lift to ani muscles. These are the muscles that hold our organs in place. They've got a, it's like a band that attaches right on the pubic bone and then loops behind the rectum, so it goes right around those muscles. So the idea is that you do all three of those contractions at the same time. And quick drink. So I'm going to get you to get nice and relaxed. Make sure your four corners of your pelvic floor are sort of stretched out from each other. Take a deep breath in to set. Make sure it's a diaphragmatic breath and you're breathing out underneath the armpits. Stretch those pelvic floor muscles and feel as if you're going down to that basement level. And then as you exhale, it's a gathering in and a lifting, as if you're stopping yourself weeing and passing wind, and you're lifting a tampon at the same time. And then you release down again, ideally on an exhale as well. So both the drawing up and the releasing down are on an exhale, and the holding at the top, you can breathe in then. So fast twitch muscles, we want to lift and then release over 2 seconds. So it's like a lift for 1 second and release for 1 second. So let's try that. So breathe in, set. And then exhaling, drawing in and lifting upwards and then releasing down, basement level. And then again, exhaling, drawing in and lifting upwards. And then it's releasing down. And you can feel those sitting bones spreading, drawing in and up, stopping yourself weeing and passing wind, and then releasing down. Again, drawing in and up and then releasing down. And you want to aim to do about 10 of these fast twitch activations, and doing that 3 times a day would be good. So making sure though that you always, as you exhale, go right down. If you need to take a couple of breaths relaxing before you do the next one, please do that. And then the slow twitch muscles take a little bit longer. So like I said, it's like you are in a lift and you are about to fart, but you don't want to because there's other people in the lift with you, and you've got to hold that in. It's easier to focus a little bit more around the back passage for this one, because like I said earlier, that's where most of our muscle fibers are. So it's about 7 or 8 seconds to lift, to hold, and then to release down. And I like to imagine it is literally like a lift shaft. So if you imagine you've got basement level, totally relaxed, and then we go up to level 1, and then try to go up to level 2, and then really, really top of the lift shaft is the level 3. So that tends to be if you have a bit more control there. And then ideally, and it tends to be something we need to work up towards, as we go down the lift shaft, we're able to give a tiny little pause at each level before we get down to basement level. So you are sitting nice and tall, you're breathing diaphragmatically, you've got a little bit of an anterior tilt to your pelvis, you're not tucking under, And then you breathe in, you sit, relax those powerful muscles, basement level. As you exhale, drawing in slightly and slightly up. Exhale again, so you can go a tiny bit higher. And then again, so you can go all the way up, 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 and hold and hold and hold. Do little puffy breaths out to help you hold. And then dropping down and then down again. And then see if you can go all the way down to basement level and totally, totally relax. And take a couple of breaths in and out as you are relaxing completely. And then we'll try that one again. So you are relaxed here, breathing in. As you exhale, you're gathering in and lifting up slightly, level one. Exhale again, level two. Exhale again, so you can go right up, level three. You might need to lift your eyebrows to help you zip right up, hold, and then drop down a little bit. Drop down a little bit more. Drop down all the way to that basement level and take a few breaths. So those are your slow twitch. They just take longer, basically. It's the same kind of pattern, take longer. If you're finding it difficult to focus on the front, don't worry, just focus on the back, and that drawing in and up is kind of almost like you're zipping the anus forward. It's a sort of drawing in and up sensation. So some people like to imagine, you know, pubic bone north, tailbone south, sitting bones west and east, and you're drawing the four corners together and then releasing them apart. And then once they come into that center line, to the sort of the center of the crossfire, if you like, you are zipping upwards. And some people find it helpful to imagine that they are breathing out of a straw. There's a straw that they are sucking up through a straw. Other people like to imagine that there is like a pebble or a blueberry, something like that, which is just at the vagina, and then you're trying to draw that upwards with your muscles. So whatever visualization works for you, please practice those. The key thing is to make sure you do the practice. So I'm just going to show you and talk you through a couple of ways that you can make these practices even more effective, because Kegels on them are their own. Yeah, they can be amplified, and sometimes they're simply not enough. One thing is to use a bolster like I've got here, and then just place your bottom, so lie back on the ground, and place your bottom onto the bolster. So I'm lying down now with my pelvis lifted onto a bolster, my upper back on the ground. And what is happening is the weight of my organs, so my bladder, my uterus and my bowel and my intestines, they're all dropping away from my pelvic floor. So my pelvic floor is now not having to deal with the weight, the gravity and the weight of those organs. So in this position, it can be a bit easier sometimes to feel the pelvic floor muscles and feel that connection with then the deep core muscles to get an activation through the pelvic floor and then feel that zipping up and then feeling the core muscles activating. Really, really important, especially for midlife ladies and postnatally as well, to get the coordination of pelvic floor activating before deep transverse abdominal muscles activating. A lot of people lose that neural pathway. And so, yes, they might be able to squeeze these core muscles, these deep tummy muscles, but they don't have that connection with the pelvic floor. And ideally, well, what we really need to be doing is when we're doing any kind of core, it comes from the pelvic floor first. And exhale, drawing in and zipping upwards and then releasing from the top downwards. And exhale, drawing in and upwards and then a release all the way down. Now, this position in particular is great for a rectus seal. So I'm going to talk about that a bit more next week, but this is great for a rectus seal because our bowel is dropping back and we can really focus around that, around the sphincter muscle of the anus. So this is quite a good position if you are dealing with a rectus seal. I'm just going to turn around now and put my knees on this bolster and take my forearms onto the ground.
So now my sitting bones are up in the sky and they're spread out wide. So my pelvic floor is nice and lengthened out. My tailbone is lifted, so it's far away from my pubic bone at the front. So we've got a nice lengthened pelvic floor. But now if I'm doing pelvic floor exercises in this position, I'm working a lot more around the sphincter muscle of the urethra. And my bladder is dropping down into its correct place because the bladder wants to be supported by the pubic bone and the lower belly here. So it sort of is on the diagonal with everything else tucking in behind. And when I'm in this position, it's just a little bit easier to feel that contraction around the pelvic floor and zipping up. And if I add a little bit of action to it, moving forward on my exhale, I then can zip right up from the pelvic floor muscles right up to those deep transverse abdominal muscles a little bit more easily. So it's like the beginning part of a plank, and I'm just training my deep pelvic, so my pelvic floor muscles to contract and lift before those deep transverse abdominal muscles. Exhaling to come forward and inhaling to come back. Now, lastly, I just wanted to show you how, if you are really struggling to activate around the urethra, if you lie on your tummy in crocodile pose, that's a really great way because you get the proprioception of the ground right against the pubic bone, and you can feel your tummy button kind of lifting up off the ground if you are getting that activation. So what you do is you lie down, take your toes in and your heels out. That's just going to stop your bottom doing all the work. And then you just relax with your forehead onto the back of your hands. So you're just crossing your hands underneath the forehead, shoulders relaxed. And same action as when we're sitting. You exhale, but you visualize the urethra like a hose pipe, and you're just kind of squeezing the hose pipe and lifting it upwards. And hopefully you'll feel your tummy just drawing off the ground slightly or drawing up towards your spine a little bit. And then you release down. So it's like you're stopping yourself weeing and you're zipping upwards and releasing down. Some people like to say, imagine you have testicles and you're pulling them up towards your spectacles if you've got a pair of spectacles on, and then you're releasing those testicles back down again. So you do it on an exhale, and worth doing both the fast twitch and then also the slow twitch muscle activation in this position as well. So lastly, just a reminder that the pelvic floor muscles work synergistically with a lot of the other muscles around our pelvis. And specifically, we want to make sure our bum muscles, our gluteal muscles, are activating and are strong so that they support our pelvic floor muscles. Really, really important. So I always like to incorporate pelvic floor activation when we're doing squats or lunges. So I'm just going to show you here a squat. I can't actually see my face, but that's okay. So when you're squatting, you want to have your behind behind you, knees on top of ankles. And when you push the floor away and you come up, you do so on an exhalation. And at the same time, you do a feeling like you are stopping yourself farting and stopping yourself weeing. So you try to get, as you're coming up, a lift through the pelvic floor, and then you release at the top. You release those pelvic floor muscles. You come back down again. As you're coming up, your bum muscles are squeezing in towards those sitting bones, and you activate the pelvic floor as well. So it's an exhale driving up and then an inhale releasing down, and exhale driving up. So when we do pelvic floor exercises and do exercises like a squat or like a lunge with them, and we exhale to come upwards, we're actually working even deeper into that pelvic bowl. So yes, the pelvic floor bottom muscles, but even deeper into the levator ani muscles, the obturator internus, are the muscles that stabilize and hold those organs in place. So really good to work on the movement with, along with Kegel, we'll start to layering on more impactful movement. So that's about it. I just wanted to jump on here and talk a little bit more about Kegels and how we can really work with them to stop leaking, remembering that leaking, like I said, is a red flag for prolapse, and management of prolapse is a lot harder
then if you can nip it in the bud and just work on strengthening those pelvic floor muscles right from the get-go. And sadly, ladies, it is something that we kind of need to do ongoing. It's like brushing our teeth. It's not something that you can do once and then ignore. We have to do maintenance pelvic floor exercises for the rest of our lives. So once you get into the habit of doing it, it's no hassle whatsoever. So do come and listen to this again and again. If you've got any questions, always get in touch. The womenswellbeing.me classes are always designed to support the pelvic floor and those deep core muscles and the posture. So whichever classes you do, you know that we don't put inappropriate intra-abdominal pressure down on the pelvic floor, and we're always looking to strengthen these really, really important muscles for women, as well as let go of the tension. Okay, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you soon. Bye.